Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl King tonight with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Coming off our first S&P 5K close, up 14 of 15 weeks ahead of CPI, retail sales, and some key earnings all in the next few days. Futures red, 10-year 415. Our roadmap begins with that Super Bowl comeback, the Chiefs becoming the first back-to-back NFL champs in 19 years.
Plus, as for the markets, we have the S&P closing above 5,000 for the first time in history. Investors are closely watching new inflation data, retail sales. We also have 61 S&P 500 companies that will report earnings in the week ahead. And the true cost of AI development, NVIDIA's CEO countering OpenAI's $7 trillion fundraising goal, and the cost predictions that come along with it.
We begin with the dawn of a new NFL dynasty, the Kansas City Chiefs delivering that overtime comeback win over the San Francisco 49ers in Super Bowl 58. Third ring in five seasons. The big game also raking in an estimated $650 million in ad revenue. Jim, you did call it on Friday, but what a great game.
I got all these right this year, which is very exciting. And I have to tell you that this is one of those games where there really were great friction in homes. Great friction. I mean, there were people who just can't just love the romance. OK, you went to romance with the Swifties. And then there were people who were revolted by it and wanted a change in pace. And I have never seen it so visceral this year, even if you're not from the cities. So I felt that there was something exciting, David, because there was true love and hatred. I mean, a lot of people just said enough.
I know. Yeah, people did feel like.
Right?
Not necessarily that. Good for them. It's wonderful. But more just, all right. I mean, Mahomes is one of the greatest of all time. We already know that.
Andy.
I was just looking for a change. I was one of those who's sort of like, all right, let the other guys win.
I know. That's what people are saying. Yeah.
But the big winner, of course, the NFL. Another season, most likely,
true,
of records.
True.
I mean, we talk about it all the time in terms of the most viewed telecast. Obviously, the Super Bowl is certainly always that, and probably the one thing we as a nation still participate in largely together. But the NFL as a property only continues to add to its monumental success.
You know, I was with my kids, 32, 29, and what was incredible was there were a lot of people who felt this Usher concert would be like a throwback. Like, what's the point? I was trying to figure out whether, did Apple unleash really great entertainment? Because this thing was just stop trading. I mean, I'm watching him like saying, oh, my God, there's Luda. I mean, holy cow. Look at, you're seeing people. You didn't, Lil Jon, you know.
Alicia Keys, yeah.
I'm not sure that
everybody agrees with you on your assessment of it.
Alicia
Usher
Keys?
A lot.
Suddenly Alicia.
Incredible talent, yes.
Thank you for that.
No, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, but I think maybe you have to be a certain age, but I think it's Apple's age. I think it's Vision Pro age, man.
It's definitely maybe people who are old enough to have some money now to buy a thing
right,
like that.
I think it was a demographic bonanza.
As for the ads, Jim, I mean, you had a lot of celebrity humor. Duncan,
yes.
I think, tops a lot of lists coming out of the game.
Right, it was
good. We mentioned this going into the game. No U.S. automakers, but BMW Walken.
That was my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, because I happen to be big Christopher Walken. There's someone at our table who might be able to imitate him because of the proximity of birth.
We are both Queens boys.
Come on, can you do it? Come on, he's from Astoria. You can do it.
The scene I want to do is from Pulp Fiction, and I can't do it.
It's the watch scene. I know you can do it.
It's the watch scene.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, like that. And I like the Doritos. I know that President Bush is against the Doritos ad.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Which one, the Doritos or President Biden? Biden?
What?
Did you like the Biden one?
I don't remember. I don't know what you're
talking about. The Biden shrinkflation?
My personal favorite was Microsoft's Copilot, I thought.
I found my... Yeah. Do you know that we immediately went to it?
Really?
Yes. Well, we were all watching it because we all do DraftKings.
There's an actual business tie-in.
We all do
DraftKings.
Amazingly
enough. because it would seem that Microsoft has adopted Copilot, hasn't it, as most likely what will be the brand for consumers.
Yes.
Forget Bing, which, of course, was a fail originally as a search engine.
Well, I was on it trying to figure. I said, look, they summarize everything that
they're going for. They're going for Copilot broadly.
Brilliant.
We know for the enterprise that's the case, but this was obviously not for the enterprise. This is a consumer
product.
Look
at the age of these young people starting their own businesses, essentially.
I thought that was great. Yep. I mean, first I was trying to figure, was it Shopify? You know, I mean, sometimes I like, well, who is it that's really doing it? Because you may not be totally focused the moment that the ad comes on, but... How about it was terrible? I'm trying to figure who was.
But that is a reflection of what would seem to be Microsoft's decision to make that the brand that they will take to market.
Yeah.
For the consumer.
Teemu.
But there was much too much Teemu. Much too much. You know, I'm trying to remember.
That kept coming up. I always go to the same party where, frankly, I can never hear the ads because it's too loud. But everybody would say, what is that?
I know. Like, my
our kids win
like,
Teemu.
They get like $250 for this stuff just to arrive at her place because she's like some sort of influencer or something.
I asked my daughter, actually.
All of it was part of the waste management golf tournament.
I was like, do you use that? And she looked at me like I insulted her.
Yeah, well, no, because
are you kidding?
If President Trump gets in, I have a bad feeling about Tim. You put a 60% tariff on that stuff, instead of a dollar, it's going to cost like $1.60.
Well, it's the $800, right? Anything under $800 doesn't get
it's free.
Tariff, right? Yeah. No
tariff. You just wait. Mr. NATO. You're pro-NATO.
Just wait.
He's pro-NATO. Just kidding. NATO's actually a good thing.
Yeah. I got a lot of discussion over the weekend, of course, and still reverberating today with some Haley comments. Jim, the other element of this is going into next season when Amazon will get a playoff game.
Yes. Well, Peacock got a playoff game. Went to that game, Kansas City versus Miami, a defining game. You knew that anything could happen. Look, Jassy came up with that Friday game. That was a great idea because you didn't shop. You just shopped on Amazon. Hey, I ordered socks yesterday at 11. Bingo, right before the game started.
Same day.
Same day.
Wow.
Same day. On Sunday.
What do we make of these headlines about a big, no significant sale by Bezos in a few years now?
Yeah, well.
I thought he was selling. Remember when I had him selling something? Not as much as this, but I'm not sure. But
this is
much more significant. And obviously we did remark a number of times on the fact that he's now domiciled in Florida, which certainly has tax advantages versus
Seattle. He seems
to
really enjoy himself.
And if he had been a seller there.
He's enjoying himself.
Back in November when I was talking about potential sales.
Hey, why save Washington Post for heaven's sake? What would happen to that thing?
Washington
Post is good.
Yeah, but still operational
challenges. Washington Post still costs some money. He's still can find that in his couch. Like what he
True.
Yeah, what it costs for that. This is a lot. 12 million shares or more.
It didn't even hurt the stock. What are you worried about?
No. Why would it?
Didn't even touch the stock.
Why would he? He does this every so often. He's allowed.
But I think that the ads represent this great cross-section of what the autos is definitely right, because they're hurting, I think. Beer coming back.
Michelob Messi, yes.
Right? I mean, I know President Trump made some deal, they came to him on Bud Light. That was kind of a cross-cultural thing.
Dana White implored him to reverse what had been a previous post.
Right.
Which he did. And then he came out very favorably as Anheuser-Busch, of course, tries to reverse what was this incredibly significant loss of market share earlier last year. And you saw it reflected in some of the ad choices they're making now, certainly, as well.
I was with Ben Stutto and Jeff Marks from the club today. And I said, okay, so when do we have to just think about Trump pretty regularly when it comes to the market? And I'm of the opinion now, because when you say things like you did for NATO, there's grave implications. But a 60% tariff ends China. It just ends China. $500 billion worth of trade.
Well, it ends a lot of things, Jim.
Right. But, I mean, look what happened to steel by putting a tariff on it.
We still have fairly significantly intertwined trade.
Supply chains,
thank you.
With batteries, definitely. I don't know. I think you have to start considering it just because it's such a radical... I mean, I know that President Trump used to tell me all the time, listen, the Dow is a great measurement of what I'm up to. But a lot of these things, we will have no relationship with China whatsoever.
Well, for now, the market is, whatever you attribute it to, closing above 5K for the first time in history on Friday. All three major averages coming off five straight weeks of gains. 61 S&P companies report this week, CPI tomorrow. Jim, 14 to 15 weeks. Haven't done that since 72.
It's 1972, of which, by the way, was a terrible time. So I think it's kind of interesting. We go back. The other comparison used to be 69. We had guns and butters, but we had a good economy because of Vietnam. But 72, someone could easily say, well, geez, what follows that? It's just a grave downturn. But I find...
Wait, 72 was last time what? Tell me again.
We went 14
out of 15 up.
Thank you. Okay.
But I just find that this is one of those moments where you'll have a couple of bad quarters, but not a lot. And then the bad quarters are viewed as being opportunities like PepsiCo. That was a weak quarter. Someone comes out and recommends it today saying, hey, look, it's down enough. I'm troubled by the idea that there were some starting to get FOMO pieces. Mike Wilson. Remember Mike?
I certainly do. Morgan Stanley strategist. Yep.
He's no longer on the investment committee. You know? He took him off the investment committee.
Is that sotto voce you're telling me this?
He had a piece that was positive today. It read positively. It's kind of like a little defense, a little like Spags, you know, just Spags, great defender. But it was positive, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Mike Wilson.
What was his positive thesis?
Would you mind sharing? Cash flow looks good, earnings per share, dividend.
Has he backed away from what was a more negative view?
I say yes. I think he has backed away. And not because he's kidding, you know, because nobody's that transparent. But here it is, David. Now, you know I like to highlight.
Yes.
Weekly, my wife bought me 100 highlighters for my birthday. Weekly warm-up, premium on quality. Quality growth showing relative strength. Renewed focus on operational efficiency. Balance sheet quality becoming more important. This guy has come out, second half readjustment, right? And just he shuts Purdy down with this thing. This is pretty shutdown. I like to look for 24 hours. We can relate everything to the NFL.
You said the pass rush would be key.
Yes, it did.
Although, who knows what they could have done with more Gainwell? Yeah.
Yes. But I have to tell you that when you have the adjustment that Andy Reid does, he did it to us last year, and we were up by 10 Super Bowl, and he just figures it out. You're a pretty calm guy, imperturbable.
Great piece in the Kansas City Star about getting yelled at by your tight end.
Yelled at?
Doesn't
he almost got pushed to the ground.
Nah, doesn't really phase you.
Nothing phases Coach Andy. Nothing.
The memes were pretty funny. All the memes.
Yes.
Of Travis Kelce, what he was actually telling him. You told me to sell NVIDIA 300.
No, did it really?
Yeah, that was one of the memes.
No, he didn't. He didn't give a big mad money shout out to press conference against. In the Chiefs Miami game.
Yeah.
Big shout out. I think he said, I don't know whether Rice had his mad money on, somebody had the mad money on. What a guy. Can I just tell you, I mean, if anyone gets to meet him, he's a loved father of everyone on the team, okay? I mean, he treated my father as if it was his father. I have nothing but incredible positive to say about him. He's an amazing man.
When we come back, still to come, how much does it cost to develop AI? NVIDIA's Jensen Huang responding to that report of Sam Altman seeking to raise $7 trillion for his new AI project. We'll get details on that. Take a look at the pre-market. Some key names coming up in the next few days, including Shopify and Cisco and Marriott and Datadog. More Squawk on the Street in a minute.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
NVIDIA's Jensen Huang speaking on AI overseas at the World Government Summit in Dubai, stressing the need for every country to have its own AI infrastructure and countering Sam Altman's $7 trillion fundraising goal for the fast-growing technology.
While we're replacing the install base of general-purpose computing, remember that the performance of the architecture is going to be improving at the same time. So you can't assume just that you will buy more computers. You have to also assume that the computers are going to become faster. And therefore, the total amount that you need is not going to be as much. Otherwise, the mathematics, if you just assume, you know, that computers never get any faster, you might come to the conclusion we need 14 different planets and 3 different galaxies and, you know, four more suns and to fuel all this. But obviously, computer architecture continues to advance.
He's really been on this theme of sovereign AI, Jim,
yeah,
the last few weeks.
Well, I think that there is something to be said that you don't want your country to be left behind. You don't want your school system to be left behind. This is like Jensen's law. Gordon Moore's law, remember, computer power basically double every 2 years, but get cheaper. This is kind of what he's saying. He's got, and he's been, my friend Ben Righteous has a great piece today, Melius, about how it is one of those things where the unleashing of the total addressable market by AMD, talking about Lisa Su, talking about how it's a $400 trillion market, made you feel like, well, wait a second, if it's that big, every country does have to have it.
Right. Well, I mean, it also, the hyperscalers, we know the demand there for NVIDIA's H100s, H200s is enormous. But now you've got potentially demand from sovereigns as well,
right,
to what you just described.
Do you think he was selling?
Yes, he's selling. Absolutely.
Well, we all sell.
I mean, the UAE, remember, aren't they one of the large owners of Global Foundries, right? Was the old AMD, doesn't...
The spinoff, the...
Abu Dhabi, yeah,
spinoff
from AMD, right, the fab. Right. They're building their own fabs there.
Well,
I would assume he's selling. And by the way, my understanding now, Jim, and you'd know more, is, you know, we think of data centers still as sort of the hard drives essentially just all in house,
right,
someplace. But now, with NVIDIA linking everything together, it's like giving them it's a supercomputer, essentially.
Well, that's exactly why ARM doubled. ARM is indeed at the center of them. You need a GPU, and that's NVIDIA, and you need CPUs alongside it, and that's ARM. And I think people didn't understand how close ARM is. I mean, Rene Haas, CEO, worked with Jensen. Jensen tried to buy the company, and if you look at that spike, what that says is that people didn't understand the closeness of the relationship, so they got it wrong. And I think in David, I'm going to add what David said because it's really important. There's very small float, because SoftBank was locked up?
Yes, there's small float. There was certainly, that was incredible, that 60% one-day move, roughly. But back to the overall thesis, though. I mean, so he's selling supercomputers around the world now, you know,
right,
the idea that you're a sovereign, you need this as well. We know how many fabs are conceivably going to be potentially built.
Well,
I mean, I don't know. Do the inventories of these chips ever get too big, or is it always going to be demand?
I mean, it's the first time I ever thought about it. You always felt that Intel would supply the world. Intel had the x86, and their whole goal was to make it so everybody had a PC, and then they obviously could link them together and make it so there's higher power. But the one thing that I never thought of was that, well, does Lithuania need AI through Jensen, Mexico AI? And I guess, yeah, but a lot of countries aren't rich enough. Countries aren't as rich as Meta. Countries aren't as rich as Microsoft.
They are in the region he's in right now.
Well, that's true. Yeah. They can be. Oh, so you're saying when he's at a place that can afford it, he's in sales mode.
I think you're in sales mode everywhere.
Well,
I'll tell you what got attention on Friday was ASML, AMAT, which we'll get this week, Clack, LRCX, because of Altman, because of the CHIPS Act Awards, because of these comments by Jensen.
If I were Denny's, which did not have an ad, I would have had the table where he created.
Where he started.
Right,
where he started NVIDIA.
And that's how, you know, and then people say, oh, because I think people are starting to recognize Jensen. Now look, Walter Isaacson hasn't started the book yet. Right. Walter was great this morning. He's so good.
He did look good, yes.
Yep.
We'll get Cramer's Mad Dash countdown to the opening bell. I'll take one more look here at futures as we kick off a jam-packed week, at least when it comes to data. Back in a moment.
Every day, Thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists put people at the heart of everything they create, like Olu Sheyi, a Comcast engineer who grew up bonding with his dad over sports. This inspired him and his team to create AI Highlights technology that uses AI and machine learning to detect the major plays in a sporting event, so millions of fans have a way of catching up on their favorite sports. Learn more at ComcastCorporation.com.
All right, we get started with another week of trading about 3.5 minutes from now. 2.5 minutes, actually. Let's get to DraftKings as your mad dash.
Now, a lot of people are trying to figure out how to play, whether you play an advertisement or not, will impact the stock. For instance, I had ELF1. There was an ELF ad with Judge Judy. But I think that the big winner last night may be DraftKings. Now, the stock has had a very big run into it, but DraftKings has a lot of a new audience because of Taylor Swift. And you had a lot of women on DraftKings, and there's fun stuff. I mean, who's going to have the first touchdown? Who's going to come back from a 10-point decline? You can make up the different prices, but you know what? Who made up things? Barstool. Remember how Barstool lost out? That deal with Penn Nat.
Well, they did fine from Penn Nat because they got money, and then they basically walked away from it, and they bought it back for nothing.
Kind of non-compete to Penn Nat. I mean, look, I think that was not a great marriage, but I thought Portnoy killed it for them. I thought Barstool killed it. And I think that Barstool is the kind of outfit that is perfect for DraftKings because it gets people to go to the site. And that's what you want. So I think Portnoy did well. I think Jason Robbins. I am aware that there was insider selling, very big insider selling last week at DraftKings. I'll point that out. But I think DraftKings was a winner, and I think DraftKings is a winner again, and I think Barstool's a winner because what you want is attention. And this is a way, particularly for younger people, to get the attention to go to DraftKings.
As we pointed out any number of times, DraftKings, one of the few, but certainly most successful SPACs.
Damn,
I guess Vertiv. Dave Cody's Vertiv, probably.
But those were early SPACs.
Maybe number one. That was really early Vertiv.
That would have
DraftKings was sort of at the very beginning of the then
exactly
what became
right.
the bubble.
Exactly. Vertiv, but better, best performer. If it had been in the S&P 500, it would have been the best performer in the S&P 500. But DraftKings is a very exciting stock as well as an exciting company because as you get elections and they allow you to bet, it does well. In the meantime, full disclosure, I had a fantasy show on DraftKings, and they are very good at getting attention. And nobody gets more attention than Barstool.
Yep.
Nobody. Who liked, by the way, the halftime show. That was really good.
Let's get the opening bell here and the CNBC real-time exchange. And the big board is Deutsche, celebrating Black History Month. At the NASDAQ, it is Etsy, celebrating the recent launch of its gift mode, which combines AI and human curation. There's another ad from last night.
Did they somehow come up that the French won cheese boards?
That's right.
In return for the Statue of Liberty.
And we had Josh on a week or two ago. And they're definitely going to push the gift thing, Jim.
Yes. Now, the stock has had a big decline, trying to bounce back. Shopify, which also works for small business reports, as you mentioned this week, and they've had no such decline. I know John, they're from Brooklyn, they're right down the block, and we pull for them because we don't have a lot of companies from Brooklyn. But it did have this period where I think that it's just like people stopped giving, and it was very odd. It was kind of a post-hangover of COVID, people going out again. But anybody who uses Etsy, of which I'm an extensive user of Etsy,
did get a boost when Elliot had a person on the board now, Mark
Steinberg. A really good person. What, Steinberg? Well, very
so
smart guy.
That was only a couple of weeks ago, right? It's backed off from there. I guess it has a little bit, but not much.
The one that hasn't had any move yet, Constellation.
What about it?
Constellation Bears. Well,
because Elliot's involved there,
too. My Chapel Trust owns it. It's not been a great performer. And some people worry that beer is going to be too GLP-1. You know, Carl, it's tough to tell because Diageo, you know, Casamigos was down 14%. That was the hottest liquor in the world.
I know.
And so they've gotten even to tequila. Now, damp January hurt these guys. I know that you tweeted something people aren't going to gyms. What the heck are people doing? What are they doing?
There's a piece on the tape about January foot traffic at the 10 largest gym chains being flat.
Wow.
On a month where it's usually a quarter of your growth every year.
That could be GLP. We don't know what GLP. GLP, it could be anything, David. It's lurking.
It is lurking.
Kellanova.
We had them on. We had Kellanova and Hershey on last week. We asked both CEOs. They said no impact whatsoever that they see. And Kay Hillane from Kellanova, in fact, indicated they've spent a lot of time modeling it, and they really don't see a, you know, maybe it's a 1% hit to caloric intake or something like that.
People don't want to take a shot. And there's a lot of things that make it so that it is not necessarily accepted by your insurance company. But
it's going to be widely used.
You've seen
There's no doubt it's going to be.
Lilly's stock is saying that
it's already widely used. They're going to be most likely going to be the biggest drugs of all time.
The biggest, right? Yes, hypertension. No one even talked about last week. They had the cirrhosis of the liver.
Well, you talked about it.
Well, no one else did.
NASH. You talked about it numerous times.
No, because it's now MASH. It's not NASH.
Well, this Hershey
MASH includes not NASH. Cirrhosis.
Nobody understood you were talking about.
That's non-alcoholic. It had always been considered to be something you shouldn't embrace, something that necessarily is because people have hurt themselves with heavy drinking.
So now it's for people who actually have cirrhosis as a result of drinking.
They no longer distinguish that.
I see.
Which I think is fine, because it's really a shame if you're... Look, people drink, and therefore they shouldn't be covered. What is that?
Meantime, this Hershey downgrade over at Morgan Stanley today, they mention among the greatest exposures to GLP-1 adoption in our coverage.
Yeah, look, I think there's going to be a backlash. At a certain point, what they're going to be, I think they're going to see is that people can actually eat a lot of stuff and not get fat. You know, like they eat a lot of chocolate and it's like, hey.
But I think it suppresses your appetite, so I don't think you do eat a lot. I don't think anybody here has.
It's a tonnage issue. It's tonnage.
It's tonnage?
Yes, it's tonnage. You just don't eat enough. You know, it's not like the old days. You need protein. I know that Abbott, which is owned by my trust, is doing a lot on protein shakes. Because, you know, it's not enough protein. Look, it's a game changer. The Hershey quarter wasn't that good to begin with. I was surprised. It's like a squeeze. Cocoa prices are up big.
That is true.
And meanwhile, you do need to keep going to the gym potentially, because if you are on a GLP-1, you're going to lose a lot of muscle mass. So,
the protein for older people makes them very frail. There's a lot of.
We'll be talking about this now and every day and for years to come.
Yeah, I think that's true, because it's a brand new regime, and Amgen didn't have what people thought they did, which then makes it so the moat's even bigger. And Eli Lilly is factory based. It's like you have to have foundries that cost.
Well, and Novo, don't forget. Obviously.
Novo doesn't have enough money, but Novo's real.
Novo's spending all that money last week on to buy the manufacturing.
That was smart, but they're very checkered manufacturing abilities in Catalan.
Yes, that were some questions there. But why are you questioning their ability at Novo in terms of the manufacturing?
Oh, no, just because you have to spend insulin was their main drug, right? And Lilly cut the price of insulin, which therefore made it so that Novo didn't have enough money. But the main thing is just expertise. You got to build these factories really quickly.
Sure.
And then the pen, and whether you can have the pen can have four shots in it, or whether you have to develop four different pens. And if that's the case, then there's a pen shortage.
Do you want to do any, speaking of all this, any Gilead M&A or Fang M&A?
A pen shortage?
I think there's pen shortage, yeah. I think we should do Fang.
Yeah.
Because I thought, David, that Endeavor was a talent agency.
Yeah. Well, it is. It is. Also an owner of TKO. Controls
it's
that
a joke.
As well.
People are going to now say that.
But
a joke.
This is a private company called Endeavor, which obviously has significant exposure in the Permian. Jim, you know more about it than I do. Let me tell you, though, about the deal itself.
Because $40 of what WTI.
Diamondback Energy, the original Fang, by the way, is in a deal in which it's going to give Endeavor $117.3 million of its shares and cash as well. I think it was $8 billion. Let me just
check.
Why
did they do that? Do the cash in stock? $8 billion in cash?
Why not? Why wouldn't you do it?
Well, I mean, like, remember
you don't want it to be, you don't want it to be dilutive, right?
No, but I mean, Pioneer, Exxon, they wanted Exxon stock.
It's all stock, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and so is the Chevron deal.
Right, but I'm saying that he's Gary Sheffield. I mean, Scott Sheffield, okay?
Right.
One of the smartest guys ever. And what did he do? He took stock.
He did. This is a private company. There may be any number of different reasons why they wanted a cash.
True, you're right. They went. People want cash.
Do you know this guy, Autry Stevens, who's built Endeavor?
No.
Okay.
But Diamondback is a terrific company. And the reason why I was saying the cash thing, look at the stock. See, the stock is reacting very positively.
It's reacting well.
Even though it's issuing a huge
amount
of shares.
Even though it is issuing a big number.
And the $40 per share, $40 WTI, that's $10 more than Pioneer fall in.
On a pro forma basis in 2025, this is what Diamondback is talking about in terms of operational synergies being realized by 2025 for the combined company.
Yeah.
They're talking about being able to generate oil production of 470 to 480 With a capital budget of 4.1 to 4.4 billion.
And so that means we're going to
I want to make sure, how do you, 470 to 480, how do you express that?
Well, that's barrels of oil equivalent.
Okay, thank you.
But I'll tell you what's really interesting about this. If you put all these different deals together, we're not going to stop, Carl, at 13.5, 14. We're going to go to 15 million. I mean, these deals are all about more production. 15 million is certainly within. The question is, do we have enough nat gas piping? Because, of course, when we drill for oil, we also get nat gas, and we don't have enough. But it's interesting to see Targa as being one of the best stocks from S&P 4. They report this week. S&P 4000, S&P 5000, Targa's in the top 10, and Targa is a natural gas liquids play where they take the pipe and they send it overseas.
Yes.
That is, remember, that is one of the things that's happened in this country, and Targa's been the winner. We need more pipe, not gas, Permian, if these guys are going to get to 16, 17 million barrels a day, which they could.
Remarkable, given that we're now the number one exporter.
Yeah.
And that's on top of the most recent EIA data that says we're back to 13.3 million.
I know, and I'm just saying that these companies are all about using fewer rigs to get more. The technology's come down in price.
So that's why the rig count on Friday's...
Rig count means nothing.
Right.
Because they can get, you know, it's like they could... There is like an equivalent where you get about 30% more with the new equipment for no money more. But one of the things that's about all these deals is that they all are going to be a substantial lift from what they're producing now. But we, you know, the world needs oil. We need very large, we only have one port that can handle the very large crude carriers, but we'll have more of those. And pretty soon we're going to be not just the biggest exporter, but the dominant player in the oil market. It's not reflected in the stocks or anything.
It kind of ties in with autos. A lot of news in the car front today. There's some price cuts at Tesla. Rivian downgrade over at Barclays.
Yeah.
This Jonas note Friday, Jim, apologizing to Toyota for ever doubting hybrids. Quite a mea culpa out of Morgan Stanley on Friday.
Look, Jonas makes a lot of calls. Some are going to be wrong. He always owns the wrong ones. He's a remarkable figure, Jonas. Remarkable. And I tried to do, compliance keeps us from being able to do something with him. I wanted to do a fireside chat with him because I think he's the most forward-looking person in the entire industry. But I think that people don't understand that the sell side, the restrictions on the sell side make it so you can't really do a lot with them. But Jonas is one you want to because he's so thoughtful. I think he's really terrific.
Guys, we talked about the deal, the oil deal. Carl had mentioned Gilead. We should tell people.
Oh.
No, I just got a press release.
I thought you were going to do Wish.
No. I'm doing the deal to acquire a company, frankly, that I was unaware of called CymaBay Therapeutics. The symbol is CBAY. Gilead's paying $4.3 billion. That's the total equity value here, $32.50 a share.
Yeah.
It's about a 27% premium to the close on Friday. They have a drug right now to treat something called PBC, primary biliary cholangitis.
Yeah.
It is a cholestatic liver disease mainly affecting women. They have an investigational oral selective drug that is already gone through phase 3. And looks, I guess, as though it's effective, and hence you've got Gilead stepping in here. Don't have a lot beyond that for you.
Well, you
just
know
from
that
the release, Jim. I don't know if you do.
They had the worst quarter of any of the major firms.
Gilead did.
It was terrible. And
remember the day. I mean, if you go back on Gilead, of course, when it was one of the great growth stocks as a result of its purchase of that company in Princeton, New Jersey,
Pharma.
That had 90 people, Pharmacet.
Pharmacet. You and I said
which treated, obviously, liver disease.
But the problem
cured it.
I want to be very careful.
It wasn't a problem.
It cured it.
It cured
and,
it.
And you can't, what you want is maintenance drugs.
And there it gives you a lot. So we're talking about that huge run up there, remember?
Yeah.
And that, yeah, there it is.
Well, look, Moderna had the same problem. They had all this money in, and their RSV, I mean, the Moderna's, they have struck out.
Was it Hep C?
Hep C,
right? Yeah. But they continue to obviously focus in this area and now are doing this deal to acquire this company.
But what do you make of the fact
that... Which has that investigational lead product to treat this liver disease.
But what
disease.
Do you make of all the incredible M&A in this space where just F these, all the big cats are just buying and buying and buying.
This is what you do.
They
have to, entrepreneurs,
right?
They raise money around certain science. They start a company. They hope that they can get to phase two, maybe even a phase three. But they don't have sales forces.
No, and
they don't have the ability to manufacture. They don't have any of that.
Bankrupt anybody.
Right. The whole plan is let's sell it. Now, you do have companies that are willing, the big pharma are willing to step in after a favorable phase two.
Right.
Some like to wait for phase three. But that's where they take their shots now.
In Bristol,
all the time.
Lilly's been doing a lot of that.
And for the most part, it's always one company representing the sellers, and that would be bad. Yep, that would be Centerview Partners.
They just need it so badly.
It's in every single one of these deals.
And Dave's right. I mean, it's a sales force. The sales force is expensive. The price for a huge phase two, there's almost only big companies can do it. A little company just can't do it. It's too expensive.
Well, but a lot of them do get through phase two.
You can do it in Australia. The government lets you do it in Australia. And the Australian price for phase two is dramatically lower than the U.S.
But again, you're in no way going to be able to commercialize these drugs in terms of actually having a sales force and marketing them and everything else that goes along with having a drug.
Let me tell you, Pfizer is not. You look at Pfizer stock; they've bought a ton of companies.
We didn't talk about their advertisement last night. Pfizer talking about science, obviously in particular in cancer, which goes to the big deal they did last year.
Right.
Seagen.
Seagen has got to work for them. I mean, and it's not a Hail Mary play. Seagen can work. They do have hard-to-solve cancers, and they have radically different ways of doing it. They always have, and I just have to hope. The guy who runs Bristol's from Seagen, and he also is doing radical stuff with schizophrenia. He's trying schizophrenia. You know how hard that is? Going after the hardest illnesses in the world.
Get confused by our charts. It says 1 year at the top, but it's not
versus
a one-year chart.
We
it's
should
a six-month
show Merck
chart,
versus Pfizer.
But that's showing what it's done for the year at the top. All right.
Well, Merck is Keytruda, of course. Greatest drug of our era. You're close to Merck. You know Rob Davis done a good
or
job.
Or is that a year chart? It is a year chart? Why does it start with M?
Look at that. It's a chart of the last six games of the Eagles, for MC.
I don't know. All right.
See, look at that. That's what, there's the Cowboys loss, the Niners loss. Cowboy loss was bad.
You know, football season's over now. Are you going to stop? After tomorrow?
I was all over today. Schefter this morning. Hey, Schefter's daughter was terrific on Nickelodeon. I don't know if you caught her.
What would the spring football league say?
Well, I don't know. We got to talk to President Trump.
My God. You gushed all over The Rock about his spring football. You love it. You're the biggest fan there is.
Because
it's a great success, apparently, according to you.
Those guys play for dinner, which means that if you're Howie Roseman, one of my great friends from Philadelphia, thank you, Howie, for a nice call on my birthday on Saturday.
I think that
he has got to look at talent. And that's a feeder. You can't just look at Georgia. You know, it's not the United States of Georgia. Although that tight end is good for Georgia.
I have an original XFL football.
Red and black.
Yeah, an original one in my closet.
I have a 1960.
I got it from the WWE people a long time ago.
Oh.
Me and Sandy Cannell were out there.
You may have to give that back.
No, it's a collector's item, I think.
I mean, we're leaning on sports heavily. I don't know
we
if you
are.
Saw
we
the...
We have to stop it tomorrow.
I don't know if you saw the FX keeps a tally of scripted series. Every year they keep a count of how many new shows are scripted. 14% drop. Last year, in an argument that the content bubble is bursting.
Actually, Steve Colbert said something. He goes, his partner was saying, we got hospital shows and crime shows. David, there's a lot of cop shows. David, I don't know if you stayed up for Tracker.
I did not.
You would have been right here because the game ends so late. You'd be just finishing Tracker.
Yes.
Now, David, a lot of these shows, does your mom watch them? Because, anyone under 75 who watches
these
shows?
I don't know who watches them.
Well, they're all the same shit. It's about cops and fire. Well, it's many set in Chicago. And hospitals.
It's no different than it was in the 60s and 70s.
And you ask me why linear
Adam
TV 12, is bad?
Emergency.
Why linear TV doesn't change?
NYPD
I'm watching,
Blue. There were
I'm
some
watching
great
Uruguayan
shows.
Plane crash and guys rugby
shows.
And the Donner Party. And these guys have got a... It's the same thing and nothing's changed. David, why is linear so...
David, why?
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 Moses,
why
do cop shows work, David? NYPD
I'm
Blue.
Hill Street Blues.
Well, that was
when TV was TV.
Oh, now it's not anymore? I think the quality.
No, I'm just
I wouldn't
saying,
know. I don't watch
I'm
these shows.
I'm just saying that people have found
they have more
bundles.
Choice.
They found new bundles.
They have a lot more choice.
Hey, how about the NFL waking up to the idea that they're part of a bundle they didn't know about?
it was a good journal piece this weekend.
That was
at least getting a little
piece.
Bit of the TikTok behind it, although we related a number of the key elements of it, which is they hadn't talked to many people.
How could Palo
and they
Alto
hadn't
be...
approached, obviously, Paramount or our parent company as
no,
well.
That was very
there
strange.
There was a worry on antitrust, not to mention price.
Palo Alto down badly. That Nikesh Arora's birthday was Saturday. That's got a sting.
You guys share.
That's a sting. Yeah, a sting. Oh, and also Bob Iger, who, by
yes.
the way, is doing a lot of interesting things with Disney, right? Disney Plus had an advertisement.
They did. Disney's right. market cap is above $200 billion for
there
the first
go.
Time in a little while.
I know. I figured you were going to do a slag against, you know, versus the Netflix comparisons,
that
which are fatuous.
No.
I'm tired of those comparisons.
By the way, they are starting to narrow a little bit.
Yeah. There we go.
That gain, you know, there was a long period of time that Disney obviously had a much larger market cap than Netflix passed it. Then it was passed again. Then they switched, and now Netflix has been dominant.
And now we're
for some
watching
time.
NVIDIA, Amazon. Just crossed.
Oh, my. Really? Get Jesse on the phone. I'll get
wow.
Jesse. We'll get that straightened
yeah,
out.
Yeah, well, I've got NVIDIA at 179 and Amazon at 181.
But
so
you can't,
a little bit
you know, you should own, not trade NVIDIA. I have a great picture of me and Jensen where he wrote it in. It says, Kramer owned. Then this was, of course, when it was like four. Just kidding. A lot of Niner fans there. Sorry.
Yes. But with the leather jacket, to your point, the New Yorker article, he's beginning to develop somewhat
right.
of an international
I want everyone to read the New York article, especially when he was at that special school in Kentucky, and everyone was beating him up, and then he won all of them over. Which
the
is
Denny's,
really,
the
yeah,
myth, the, I mean,
Denny's.
The
no,
legend.
He's just a regular
creation.
Person. I mean, the story, I mean, you know, I don't want to violate confidences, obviously, but the stories of him are always the same, which is that he's unchanged, that it has not impacted the way he leads his life. And I've known him for some time, but that's my perspective. It's not changed. He's funnier. Lisa thinks he's funny.
Well, when you're adding the equivalent of an Intel every yeah. week.
Well, as he said to my wife, I had the biggest biggest earnings surprise.
Up guidance in history?
Yeah. She said, well, what is that? Is that bad? She goes, no, $5
billion
better. She goes, that's a lot of money. And she's like very not involved with us. She goes, you have stock. You have some stock? Yeah, he has a lot of stock.
We're going to watch that one today. Off slightly, but still holding a 5K on the S&P, Dow's up 30. Check bonds as well. As we said, Bowman's this morning, Barkin and Kashkari this afternoon, along with some inflation expectations from the New York Fed in about an hour. Market's still keeping an eye on regional bank stress. Take a look at NYCB today. Higher on news of some insider purchases on Friday, including this new executive chair, Danilo. Month to date, stock went from 10.5 to 3.5, now back to 5.5. We'll get stock trading with Jim after a short break. Don't go away. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Retail's had a quiet renaissance, and we just see the stocks perking up now and then. There's a terrific note, J.P. Morgan, about Lowe's, saying that Lowe's is going to have a great quarter. They report March 1. I totally agree with this, and I agree with Home Depot, because a lot of the aisles of Home Depot have had amazingly, and AZEK, and Trax, doing incredibly well, Lumber doing well. I just think that this is a group. Next move. The next move up will be in this group.
That's really going to be interesting on a week where we are going to get to some macro data on retail sales,
indeed.
Too.
Yes, indeed. I think it's going to be very positive for spending, renovation, repair. Fantastic.
And tonight?
I've got Trane Technologies, TT. If you looked at the chart of this thing, you would think that this is the brother of Jensen. I mean, that's how good it is. Palo Alto's down 6. This is crazy. On the Monday after a guy's birthday? That's a complete insult. I'm all over it.
Well, look forward to tonight, Jim.
Congratulations to Andy and Tammy,
yes.
who really does run the show there.
Okay, just Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time. We'll take a quick break. Back in a couple of minutes.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.